To see you all this morning. If I can ask you to turn to the book of Jeremiah chapter 12 for me this morning, please. Just as you turn to Jeremiah chapter 12, I just want to quote some famous hymn words to you before we start. Stand up for Jesus, stand in his strength alone. The arm of flesh will fail you, ye dare not trust your own. As we come to Jeremiah chapter 12 this morning, we see a prophet of God. A soldier for God, but that soldier's become weary. He's become discouraged. He's become, as the Scottish people would say, scunnered. His courage and his understanding has totally failed him. And perhaps he doesn't want to stand up anymore. He didn't understand what was going on. He didn't understand what God was doing round about him and with him personally. He didn't understand that he wanted answers from God. And he was in that total weary state of mind. But the fact was, Jeremiah had been called to be a prophet. I was going to say at a young age, but even before he was born, you know, at his conception, even before his conception, God had ordained him to be a prophet. And if you read chapter 1, you see that account there. So he had the office of a prophet, and that had to continue for his full life. And as Jim said, he had a long and he had a hard ministry, speaking the word of God to a sinful people, wanting them to repent, and he'd done it for 40 years faithfully, but it wasn't an easy road for him at all, because the people didn't want to listen. He gave the message from God, and it fell on them, and then fell off them again. It didn't actually go to their hearts. So as we come to the scriptures here in Jeremiah chapter 12, we see Jeremiah, he's kind of complaining about the task that God has given him, his assignment that God has ordained him to do. He was discouraged, and I would like Jeremiah's discouragement today to be an encouragement for us, to give us that kind of insight and that kick up the backside to go forward and do what God is asking us to do. And we can take heart that even the best, even the people ordained to be a prophet from before their conception, can become weary and can become discouraged and can have those low valley points in their life. But what we see from Jeremiah is we need to understand that mindset and look to God and get ourselves out of it with God's enabling. Ephesians 2 verse 10 says, "For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God has prepared beforehand that we should walk in them." That was the case for Jeremiah, and that's the case for each and every one of you today as well. We all have been prepared for good works for the Lord. Jeremiah was often called the weeping prophet because he was a big crybaby. He wasn't really, just he had a heartfelt emotion for what God had asked him to do. He had a heartfelt emotion for the people of Judah that were not following God. But also at times he cried over his circumstances as well. And what we see is that Jeremiah, like us, was a real person. And real people go through high points, they go through low points, and every range of emotion in between as well. When the rubber hit the road, though, Jeremiah was faithful. He had his up points, he had his down points, but he was faithful and he always done what God asked him to do. There was questioning, there was uncertainty, but he always followed through. He had a work to do amongst God's chosen people in Judah, and he knew that, and he went forward and did it. But like I said, he had weary times, and as we get to chapter 12, this is where we find him during one of those points. So chapter 12, verse 1. "Righteous are you, O Lord, when I plead with you, yet let me talk with you about your judgments. Why does the way of the wicked prosper? Why are those happy who deal so treacherously? You've planted them, yes, and they've taken root. They grow, yes, they bear fruit. You are near in their mouth, but you are far from their mind." So Jeremiah wanted to ask God the question. It was questioning about those in Judah that were not following God. It was questioning the wicked enemy that were gathering round about that nation. People were dealing wickedly with one another, with other people, yet the wicked seemed to prosper. While Jeremiah was a prophet from God, given a message from God, and he was suffering as well. And Jeremiah is basically saying, I understand that anyone who prospers, anyone who is bearing fruit in their lives, essentially is coming from you, God. Why are you allowing it? Why are you letting people that are wicked prosper? I don't understand it. And he's saying, you know, you're planting them, you're letting them take root, you're letting them bear fruit. What's going on? I'm in such a difficult position here. I don't understand what you're doing, God. And Jeremiah contrasts his life with the wicked people. And in verse 3 it says, "But you, O Lord, you know me. You have seen me and you have tested my heart towards you. Pull them out like a sheep for the slaughter. Prepare them for the day of slaughter. How long will the land mourn and the herds of every field wither? The beasts and birds are concerned for the wicked of those who dwell there. Because they said, he will not see our final end." So Jeremiah knew that his life was being tested before God. But these wicked people were prospering, and it seemed like their lives weren't being tested by God either. They were getting away with it in some sense, but yet Jeremiah was going through a really hard time. And there's a wee bit of an undertone of, "Oh God, it's not fair." How many times have we said that? "Oh God, it's not fair. Why me? Why me?" And sometimes we think in our head, "Why not them? They deserved it and I didn't." And when things like that go in their life and things go wrong in their lives, it's our human reaction to go, "Why me?" We go through that question period and we question God and we put accusations at God and we fire those questions at him all the time. "Why all the wickedness, Lord? Why are you not judging them, Lord? Why are you allowing that to happen, God? Are you not the God of love? Are you not the God of power? Are you not the God that can change all these things here?" And we see that Jeremiah asks those questions and God replies back to him in verse 5. But the response is not really what Jeremiah would have expected. And when we ask those questions to God as well, the answers that we're going to get back are not going to be the answers that we expect either. And verse 5 is really the verse we're going to camp out on in a wee while for the rest of the message today. So verse 5 says, and this is an answer to Jeremiah asking all these questions, "Why are the wicked prospering? You all look at me, you know, look at what I'm going through." And God answers in verse 5, "If you have run with the footmen and they have wearied you, then how can you contend with horses? And if in the land of peace in which you have trusted, they weary you, then how will you do it in the floodplains of the Jordan?" So God is answering Jeremiah's questions. Jeremiah asked a question, but what we see is God gives no direct answer to that question. Why? Simply because God does not owe Jeremiah any explanation. And he owes us no explanation either. And sometimes that can be quite hard for us to accept. Chuck Smith, the founder of the kind of Calvary movement, I've got a wee quote from him which I thought was really good. It says, "We want to understand God. All that he wants is for us to believe in him. We want reasons. All he wants is faith." We can be gobby. We can be complaining. We can be downcast people. And even if we don't say the words, sometimes our demeanour and our attitude with people and those round about us can say, "I'm not happy. I'm not happy with you. I'm not happy with God." We can have those faces that we're chewing a wasp at times when we're not happy. Because we want God to answer our questions. We want to put him to the test. "Explain yourself, God, to me why these things are happening." But again, God knows what he's doing. He's got the big picture in mind. And even if the times are hard, he knows what he is doing and he is sovereign over it. When I was thinking about that whole concept, there was a song that popped into my mind by Matt Redman, and it's the song, "Let My Words Be Few." "You are God in heaven, and here am I on earth, so I'll let my words be few." There's the challenge. How often do we let our words be few? We've always got something to say about everything, haven't we? And when we're not happy about how our life's going, our spirituality's going, how the church is going, how friendships are going, how work is going, man alive, we do not let our words be few at all. Jeremiah was questioning God. Jeremiah wanted encouragement from God, but God knew what he needed at this moment in time. And God always knows our needs far more than we do. Sometimes we don't even know that we need something, and God meets the need. So instead of an explanation from God, God stirs them up instead. He stirs them up at that moment in time. It wasn't the time for the warm fuzzy, "Oh, there, there, son, you'll be okay," the big kind of cuddle and the mollycoddling. It was a time for challenge in Jeremiah's life. Jeremiah had a job to do. He had the strength to do it if only he would realise that at that moment in time. And God was giving him that challenge. "You've got something to do in the future, so don't sit down here in the present." So God knew that Jeremiah needed challenged. And I wonder if we also need the challenge as well. I certainly know that I do very often. So stop feeling sorry for yourself, stop moaning, stop being beaten down, stop being trodden over. Get on with the task that God has called you to do. God is still on the throne. God still has power. He will give you the power that you need for the task in hand. So without directly answering the questions from Jeremiah, God encourages him in his present condition. But it's also a preparation for the things that are going to come in the future as well. And that goes for us too. Whatever we go through in the here and now or in the past is for our preparation in the future. Because we're not always going to be where we are right here, right now. At one point we might be moved on to another season in our life, another season in ministry, another challenge that God's going to put across our path. So as we think about if we've got some new challenge or some new season in the future, for some of us we might be thinking, oh man alive, bring it on because this one's no very good and we're looking forward to our next season. But for others it can be a case of, that's really daunting because I'm in the peaceful land just now. Everything's quite easy, quite settled. And it can be a daunting thought to think, what is the future going to bring? But again, God knows, and God will see us through whatever season we're called into. And the question remains, as it was put to Jeremiah, are you spiritually and are you emotionally ready for what's coming up next? God knew what was coming next in Jeremiah's life. And God knows what's going to come next in our life as well. And we need to see again that kind of link, that what we are going through here is preparing us for that future task. God understood that Jeremiah was in a challenging time at the start of chapter 12 here. God wasn't just brushing that to the side and ignoring the fact, but that was there for a purpose. The challenging time is there for a purpose and for a season. God knew that. And he also knew his plans and his purposes for Jeremiah in the future as well. That what he was going through in the here and now was that he gave him the strength and the courage and the ability to see him through at the future point. Now wasn't the time for Jeremiah to give up. Now was the time for him to set his face and go forward on with God. He needed to learn in the here and now that God was with him now. He needed to remember that God was with him in the past. And he needed to have faith and belief that God would be with him at the future point as well. One commentator I read said this, says, if you complain about the simple things that God has already asked you to do, then you lack the spiritual strength to do what he wants you to do next. If we fail in the small things now, how are we going to go on and accomplish the greater things that God has planned for us? Jeremiah needed the challenge to man up, to step up and move forward with God to the next step in his life. And he reminds Jeremiah of all the things that he'd done in the past. Oh, I've been with you in the past, I've seen you through in the past. I'm not going to stop doing that at all. You've faced the footmen. Obviously the footmen were the soldiers that went on foot and they could go long distances and travel around the lands. You know, you've been up against the marching infantry. That's the stage we're at just now. They can go long distances, they can run, they can do things like that. Jeremiah, if you've got issues with these footmen, when the cavalry come, when the men, the horses come, how are you to be able to stand up against that if you can't have the strength and the faith in me now? So God asks them, think about that, Jeremiah. Do I have the power to see you through now and also the greater challenges in the future? But the Lord is a careful mentor. He doesn't just say, right, okay, you've done nothing up until this point, plop into this really, really, really difficult circumstance. He always prepares us beforehand. In the future, Jeremiah could be expected to face the horsemen because he had done the training with the footmen first. He was trained in the lesser challenges, so he would be ready with the major challenge ahead. It's the whole Luke 16:10 principle. He who is faithful in what is... Sorry, say that again. He who is faithful in what is least is faithful also in much. He who is unjust in what is least is also unjust in what is much. So God wouldn't put him up against the horses until he trained him with the footmen first of all. And when we are faithful in the lesser, smaller things in life, then we can be trusted and we've got the strength to go ahead in the greater challenges that God will put across our path. But the question then remains, are we faithful? Are we faithful in the small things? Or do we see them and go, nah, that's too much for me. I'm too discouraged. I'm too weary. And say to God, no, no thanks. And we sit down. What do we do when we're asked to carry out a simple task? Or when the Lord asks us to do something simple in our daily lives? Do we say yes? Do we say no? Do we say, that's not a good enough thing for me, Lord? Give me something better and then I'll do that. Are we considering all of the challenges that God puts in our lives just now, from the very simple things to the larger things? They're all our preparation ground for the future tasks that God would want us to undertake. Are we really ready for them? Are we poised and ready to go? Are we ready to take on a challenge for the Lord? One of the things we need to remember, though, is the greater the task, the greater the opposition that comes against us. We go from the footmen and then we go to the cavalry that we need to go up against. The persecutions and the hard times of today are our testing ground for the greater spiritual warfare to come in the future. We can think of the running with the men, running with the footmen as our daily lives. You know, the daily challenges and the daily things that come across our path. If they overwhelm us, how can we then go forward and deeper on in the things of God? What are we going to do when suddenly we're faced with this major situation in our life if we've not done the preparation beforehand? It's then our faith and our trust and our confidence in God can be so shaken that we sit at the side of the path and we think, I don't know what to do, God. And we take ourselves out of the race, out of the running, and our faith with Him. Don't allow the small trials in your daily life to sit out. Don't allow Satan to take the small trials in your life and use them to take you out of the race for God. They're your training ground. You need to face up to them and deal with them, not in your own strength, because the arm of flesh will fail you, but in the strength of the Lord, the one who is by your side, who is within you at all times. God will help you. Whatever you need, God will help you. If you trust in Him, rest in Him, and abide in Him. Use each and every day to build yourself up in the most holy faith, as the book of Jude says. Lean in God and trust in Him, and be the good boy scout or good girl scout. Dib, 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 be prepared. That is why God puts trials into our lives. The simple logic is, during a storm, would you expect a building to stand strong if it didn't have a good foundation? You wouldn't. And we see that, you know, well, wise man built his house upon the sand and upon the rocks. We need to be building the rocks. And that's what we do with all the trials of our life. They're building our strong foundation up. If we don't build our foundation, the storm comes and then we start digging in the ground, trying to put bricks in and underpin the building. It's an extremely, extremely difficult task to build ourselves up in God during the heaviest storm that we're facing. Now is our time to be prepared. Now is the time to focus on your foundations and build them up. Because I'll give you a wee insight here, which I don't think any of you know. Life can be hard. Life can be hard. It's not all roses and strolls through the park. Times are hard, and hard times are promised in the Bible as well. As Janice was praying earlier, we look globally at the situation, we look politically, we look spiritually. The world is going down the Swanee very, very quickly. It's getting darker and it's getting worse. But are we surprised? If we are, we shouldn't be. 2 Timothy 3, verse 1 to 5. But know this, in the last days, perilous times will come. Many will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, and the list goes on. Greater darkness is coming upon the world, but we are not called to be discouraged and to be weary during these times at all. We shouldn't have the woe is me, buckle me up, get me out of here, Scotty attitude. We need to be living in these times, facing the challenges with the empowerment of God by our side. Because God has placed us here now for a purpose. He has chosen to put us here on this earth at this moment in time. And too many of us are looking at the world and going, oh, woe is me, oh, come back, Lord Jesus, Maranatha, and we sit back and we sit out of the race, myself included. But we're called to challenge the day. We don't do that by, you know, this is wrong, that's wrong, kind of shouting out everything that's wrong in the world. But what we do is, in our daily walk, we interact with people, we interact with groups, and we become the shining beacons, the salt and the light in the world today. Our lives, our attitudes, our love, our grace and our mercy are to shine out to the people that we come across in our daily lives. God placed us here and now to do that. We've not to become so weary and too discouraged like Jeremiah that we're kind of ready to give up and to stop putting the word of God out there. But unfortunately, when we're in that situation, we're in the kind of, oh, this is too hard, I'm so discouraged, woe is me. When we're in that mentality, it is so hard to go forward in the things of God. And you know, when I kind of first read this chapter, the Jeremiah 12, this verse 5, if you've run with the horsemen and they have wearied you, how can you contend with the horses? If we're in a kind of glass half empty mentality, we could read that as, cheer up, Jeremiah, but it's only going to get worse. Cheer up, but things are getting much worse. How's that encouragement for them? But that really is not what the Lord is saying here at all. What God is really saying at this moment in time is, trust me now, so that no matter what happens in the future, you'll be so prepared, so empowered, so full of faith and trust in me, no matter what happens in the future, you get the strength and the faith to get you through. You get the strength and the faith to get you through no matter what happens in the future. And when we're going through these hard times, during these hard times, we need to remember certain things as well. Jeremiah ran into difficult times, but God was still there. When we run into difficult times, God is still there. It doesn't mean the situation goes away, because Jeremiah, God didn't say, well, I recognise you're in a hard time, I'll take that away from you, on you go, son. He says, you've got a hard time, you're going to go through it, but I'm going to be with you through it and give you the power to get you through to the end point. You will see the light at the end of the tunnel. Sometimes we just need to dig in a wee bit because it's going to get rough, but we know that God is there and God will pull us through to that other side of the tunnel. Keep your focus on Jesus and ride the storm and he will see you through to the other end. I've seen this nice wee picture. I should really have put it up, but I didn't bother with PowerPoint slides today. In life, there are two different types of tent, this picture said. I've been camping, shopping with Daniel. There's many, many different types of tent, but for this analogy, there's two. You've got the con tent and you've got the discon tent. We choose contentedness or we choose discontentedness. Which one are we sheltering under? Which one do we allow to cover us each and every day? Which one do we live in? You choose to crawl into a tent. And you choose to crawl into whatever mentality you want to crawl into. We can be discontented with life, with the world, with our spiritual life. Each and every one of us, we can find something to be discontented about. But the Christian life is to find faith, to have hope, to rejoice in the things that you can rejoice in your daily life. Don't shelter under discontentedness, because that will cause you to sit out of the race for God and will stop you being able to walk forward in the purposes that he has called you to do. But that's quite easy to say, isn't it? When you're going through a very, very difficult time, and obviously to be content in a very hard situation can only come from God, can only come when you're resting in God and abiding in God and being in that fellowship with him. It is God-based. And that's why in your hardest times you need to seek God as much as you can. And I think a good example is Apostle Paul in the Bible, specifically in the book of Philippians. That was actually the book I was going to start on. It's maybe the one I'll maybe start on next time. You know, it's partly a call to joy, to rejoice, even amidst the circumstances that you are in. The Apostle Paul went through so many hard times, beatings, prison, you name it, he went through it. But he could choose to be content no matter what situation he found himself in. He is a great example to us. Philippians 4:4, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. And that always means, even during your difficult times, find something to rejoice in. If you look, you will find it. God always gives us blessings. And if you don't see them, you need to start looking for them. So let's not allow the enemy as well to think that if you're going through a hard time, it's a punishment from God, because that is not true at all. Hard times are not punishments from God at all. Jesus took all of our punishments on the cross. He paid for them. He dealt with them there. Persecution for the sake of the gospel might come. That is what can come to us. and God might allow a trial in our lives to test us and to shape us and to hone us as well. It's not a punishment, but it's for our betterment. It's to prepare us for the future. And the simple thing goes that God asks us to do work for him, and the work's not always going to be easy. In fact, it will rarely be easy work, but he will see to it that we can accomplish it. If he calls you to do something, he'll give you the power to achieve it as well. We just need to set our face to God. Philippians 3:14 says, I press towards the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. We look to the goal, we look forward, and that is the direction that we walk in, we run in, we crawl in, if that's all we can manage. We just keep on going forward to that goal, that forward motion, as fast as we can physically make it. It may lead us into a new season with God, or it may just be to endure the current season that we're in as well. But no matter which season it is, we've not to become weary, we've not to become discouraged and long-faced about it. The joy of the Lord is our strength, as Nehemiah says, but discouragement will totally floor you. It'll make your heart heavy, your mind weary, and stop you moving forward in God. So you need to be so careful not to get into that mentality of discouragement. Stop looking inwards to how you feel, to how your circumstances are, to your frustrations, and start looking upwards to God. I'm not saying you ignore how you feel, you ignore all the kind of emotions and things. You've got them, acknowledge them, put them out there, but the main thing you've got to do is to look upwards towards God as well. God who is with you, God who is beside you, God who is in you, God who will see you through. And Jeremiah had to actually come to the point and think, what am I choosing? Am I choosing the footmen to stay at this spiritual plane here? Or do I want to go to the level of the horses? Do I want to move forward and upwards in the call that God has got for me? In verse 5, it's kind of like God is saying, Jeremiah, is this really what you want? Do you just want to stay here where you are? Or do you not want to go deeper and deeper into the things of God? Do you not want to move forward in your purposes? Do you want to be beaten by the infantry? Or do you want to move on to the horsemen and have a victory there? Jeremiah had a high calling. It wasn't to stay at the level of the footmen. He had a high calling to go forward and up in the things of God. I wonder what we have today. Where are you in the calling that God has placed in your life? Have you settled because you've become weary and discouraged? Do you have to press forward to the goal and move upwards and deeper into the things of God? If that is the case, then seek God, abide in God, ask him for the power and the strength and encouragement to go forward in the things that God is asking you to do. Remember that we are more than conquerors through Jesus Christ. Through him, we can overcome. 1 John 5:4-5 says, whatever is born of God overcomes the world. The world might be an evil place, but whatever is of God overcomes the world. We've got the Spirit of the living God inside of us. We can overcome the challenges that come across our path if we look to God and seek him. God had great expectations for Jeremiah, and I think he's got great expectations for each and every one of us as well. He wants you, he wants me to do the impossible. If you could stand a big horse beside me at this moment in time, I think the horse might win in a race, believe it or not. But God can actually cause us to do the impossible. He can give us a supernatural enablement to do the things that in the natural realm we couldn't do. That is the power, that is what we seek from the Lord during our hard times, that he can do amazing things. He can do the supernatural. He can work the miracle. And that is the faith and the trust that we need to put in him. But when we become weary, we lose the faith and the trust. And we become in that slump. We get scunnered yet again. And it's not a nice place to be in. But trials will come into our lives. Presently, Jeremiah was going through the trial here. But God was still by his side. And God was calling him forward. It was going to get harder, but it was for a purpose. He had a plan and a purpose for the trials in Jeremiah's life. He's got a plan and a purpose for the trials in our life as well. A very hard verse is James chapter 1, verse 2-4. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials. Know that the testing of your faith produces patience. But let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete and lacking nothing. Any trial that comes into your life is not for nothing. There's a point, there's a cause, and that creates an effect in your being. God is training you, he's honing you, he's making you a better Christian, he's working the attributes you have within you. Don't let the thought of defeat enter your mind, because God is not a God of defeat. He will bring the victory. Don't allow the whistles of the enemy to overtake your mind during a hard time. Look to God, trust in God, rest in him. As I said, the scriptures never say we're going to have an easy time, but yet again I will repeat it, that God is with you through the hard times and he will see you through. You plus God equals a majority. The majority will win all the time. So strive forward with and strive forward with God and for God. Jeremiah had to be stirred up. We have to be stirred up as well. And let's set our mind to the task ahead of us, trusting in God, take encouragement from each other, take encouragement from the Lord. Hebrews 12:1 says, therefore we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us. Let us run the race with endurance, the race that is before us. We've heard it said many, many times, our life is not a sprint, it's a marathon. We need to be in it for the long haul. Jeremiah trained with the footmen. That was his running track. Every day he was training with the footmen, his daily life. He built up his strength, he built up his stamina, he built up his go-get mentality, and then he could go for the sprints. He could go in the short bursts of energy for God as well. He could endure in the long term. Look to Jesus. He will empower you for the short bursts when we need to sprint. He will also give the power to endure the marathons of life as well. And we help each other. In a marathon, you see them in the telly. It's not a case that every man's for himself and everyone gets pushed out of the way. There's such a community involvement in a marathon. If somebody's halfway around and they injure themselves, two or three people will come alongside them, prop them up and get them across the finish line. That is what we've got to do with each and every one of our fellow believers. Help each other in the race for God. When somebody else becomes weary, come alongside them, help them up and help them go forward in the things of God. And if we're going through a hard time, chase some joy. Find something to rejoice in, something to lift your spirit. God will always give you something. He always brings a blessing and an item of joy into your life. It's simple, but we need to pursue these things and recognise them. As other wee song, count your blessings, name them one by one, and give thanks for what the Lord has done. We can do that even through the darkest of times that we might be coming across. So if you're weary today, take heart. So was Jeremiah. And he was called from God to be a prophet from his conception, even before his conception. We can be overwhelmed, but we do not need to stay that way at all. Know that God is preparing your future the same as he prepared Jeremiah's as well. And what God done with Jeremiah, he's going to do with us. He's preparing us for what we're going to come across in the future. The future's not going to overtake us and overcome us, because we're going to be strong in the things of the Lord. We're going to abide in God, rest in God, and seek his power, and know that he can help us overcome the challenges that come across our path. Some days might be a stroll in the park. Others might be like climbing Mount Everest in the winter. But during both times, in all things rejoice. Find something to be thankful for and give God thanks for the things that he has given you in your life. It's an enduring work, the Christian life. We need to look forward to the goal. It's a long run that we have to do, but we've got to have faith in God to get us to the end. Not to be downcast, not to be weary, and not to put ourselves out of the race. Don't let your daily life wear you down. Don't become like Jeremiah and nearly pull yourself out of the race. We've got the Spirit of God within us to strengthen, empower, and enable us. God has called us all for a good work. He's a good work for each and every one of us. And as Galatians 6, verse 9-10 says, let us not grow weary while doing good. For in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart. Therefore, as we have the opportunity, let us do good to all, especially to those who are of the household of faith. So that's your challenge for today. Do not grow weary while doing good. In due season, you'll get a reward for all the things you're pouring into the kingdom of God. Let's close in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for your encouragement from the Word. The words of God and Jeremiah from this book here, Father God. We thank you, Father, that we can ask you for strength when we're feeling weak and downcast. We thank you, Father God, that even the best of us can go through times of feeling discouragement and being totally scunnered with life and everything round about us, Father God. But Lord, we ask you for the strength that we need to get us through each and every day, Father. We know that we don't have the strength at times, Lord, but we can look to you and our hardships and our struggles and ask you for the strength to go forward. You can embolden us and strengthen us for any challenge and anything that comes across our path, Lord. You help us, you encourage us, you enable us through all things. We recognise, Lord, that in this world that we will have trials and tribulations, Lord, but you have overcome the world. And you empower us by your Holy Spirit. You never give us false promises, Lord, that everything that we read in your word comes to pass. That you are for us and not against us. That you are so loving towards us, Lord, that you count each and every hair in our heads, Lord. We thank you for your great love towards us. We commit ourselves, Lord, to you, to abide in you and to trust in you today and tomorrow and the next day, Father God. To establish those habits that will help us build our foundations, to make us strong in you, Father. We thank you, Lord God, that if we wait in you, that you will renew our strength. That we'll be able to mount up with wings like eagles, that we'll be able to run and not be weary, to walk and not grow faint. We put our trust in you, Lord, not in horses, not in chariots, Father God. We put our trust fully in you, Father God. Help us this upcoming week, Lord, to lift our heads up, Father, to be rejoicing people, to be full of joy, to clothe ourselves with contentedness, and not to become discouraged, Father. We ask you to do a work in each and every one of us, Lord, and we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.